grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message today comes from 1 Corinthians chapters 10 and 11 as we continue our sermon series through 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, 'This has been offered in sacrifice,' then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your own conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Let us pray. May the words of our mouth, or the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Recently, at the beginning of this month, we talked about Christian freedom and the concept of adiaphora, that is, things which are neither commanded nor forbidden by God. That time, we talked about whether or not we personally have the freedom to participate in something which God has neither commanded us to do nor forbidden us to do. The answer to that question is, of course, that we have freedom in things which God has not spoken about one way or the other. We are free to participate if we can do so without sin and without our participation leading someone with a weak faith into sin by our participation. But here then, at the end of 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is returning to that same concept of adiaphora, but now looking at it from a different perspective. What if you see someone else taking advantage of their Christian freedom while you refuse to do so? What if your own so-called personal piety exceeds theirs? What is the appropriate response? And so once again, Paul begins with the common practice of selling meat in the market, which had previously been sacrificed to a pagan idol. And as we said at the beginning of this month, that was a very common practice. In fact, it would have been next to impossible in most Greek cities to go into a meat market and buy food from a random vendor that had not been sacrificed to an idol. And so, is it good that this meat was sacrificed to an idol? Not particularly. I mean, we know that the idol itself is nothing. A couple chapters earlier, Paul says, "We know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one." And so the idol itself does not exist. But the service which is being given to the idol, however, is a real thing and is in fact being offered to a demon. And so just before our reading today, Paul says, what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. And so there is some danger here with regard to the worship that is being offered to this pagan idol. We don't believe that true worship not directed to the true God counts toward God. True worship given to an idol is false worship. And so, what the pagans are doing is, in fact, worshiping demons. And yet, at the same time, by our eating of the meat, we are not participating in that sacrifice or in that worship, is what Paul says. And so, our participation in eating the meat is could be is not actually participation in the worship or the sacrifice, but it could be construed as such. If we are eating the meat knowing that it came from an idol worship, an idol sacrifice, it could be seen as participation in that sacrifice, even if it really is not. And so for this reason, Paul instructs his hearers to abstain when someone brings it to their attention. Verses 27 through 29, he says, if one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. Not your own conscience, but his. And so, in order to avoid that misunderstanding, Paul says not to participate in this food, if it's actually brought to your attention. But this still does not take away the believer's Christian freedom. As believers, we are free to do what we want when it is not forbidden by God. That is fundamentally what Paul is saying here. If it is not forbidden by God, if we are not commanded to do, then we have freedom. Now, if God has forbidden it, such as sexual immorality, drunkenness, idolatry, and the like, then of course it does not fall under the category of adiaphora. It does not fall into the category of Christian freedom when there is some instruction from God. You can't claim Christian freedom to cheat on your wife, for example. You can't claim Christian freedom to stay out at the bar until 3 a.m. and then drive home so drunk you can't tell your hand from your head. That does not constitute Christian freedom. But the eating of food that was previously offered to a hunk of wood, that is an example of Christian freedom. However, what happens when my Christian freedom butts up against my brother's personal piety? That is the question that Paul is asking us today. So, I'm sure that none of you have gone into the Hy-Vee and purchased food that was sacrificed to Odin lately, but let's talk about an example which does hit a little closer to home. Alcohol. Alcohol is a good gift of God, something which God has given us for our enjoyment. In Psalm 104, the psalmist says, God causes the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. Wine and alcohol is a good gift of God. And in fact, it even has its place. Paul tells his young friend Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Wine can actually be good for you and healthy for you in small enough quantities. And yet, at the same time, alcohol to excess causes problems. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure that everyone in this room has some experience or knows of someone with some experience of the problems that alcohol and alcoholism can cause. Abuse. Let's see. Noah went in Genesis, passes out drunk when his son Ham walks in on him. Lot's daughters got him drunk so that they could have his children. Those are just two examples from Genesis of the problems that alcoholism causes. And alcohol consumption to excess can lead to alcoholism, which brings its own problems. Abuse, neglect, the destruction of families, sexual immorality, hatred and rage, all of these, and that's just the tip of the iceberg of problems that alcoholism and excessive use of alcohol can cause. So is it wrong to drink alcohol? No, of course not. God created alcohol to gladden the heart of man, as we said in Psalm 104. And yet, you can certainly consume too much, and that's a problem, but just simply having a drink is not inherently wrong. But there are some people who do need to avoid alcohol. Recovering alcoholics, or those with a familial predisposition to alcoholism, could be led into greater sin by even the littlest bit of alcohol. Our Baptist and Mormon friends avoid alcohol for religious reasons. And so, while it certainly is not wrong to avoid alcohol, just as it is not wrong to consume alcohol. However, avoiding can also actually cause problems. Temperance can become part of one's personal piety and an intrinsic point of what one believes the Christian faith is all about, so that it is suddenly Christianity and temperance. Ironically, allowing a specific answer to a question of Christian freedom to become such an ingrained part of your piety can actually distract from your faith. And so, should someone else's personal piety be permitted to interfere with my Christian freedom? It depends. If the person would be led astray by my participation in the activity, then obviously I should refrain, not for my own sake, but for the sake of another. I don't want my Christian freedom to lead someone else into sin. If I know that someone is a recovering alcoholic and I drink around them or I offer them a drink, then he may be led to partake as well, which could pull him back into the downward spiral of alcoholism. The drinking itself is not sinful. I can partake or abstain without issue, but if my drinking could lead another into sin, then the loving thing to do is to abstain, not for the sake of my own conscience, but for the sake of the other. However, if the person simply believes that Christians cannot do something that has not been forbidden by God, that is, if being temperate has become an ingrained part of the Christian faith to this person, then they have gone far beyond the bounds of Christianity and equated some action with what it means to be Christian. Perhaps it is voting. You have to vote Republican, or you have to vote Democrat, or you have to vote Libertarian in order to be a Christian. No Christian can vote for so-and-so. Perhaps it is alcohol. Christians may not drink. Perhaps it is child rearing. Christians cannot, or on the other hand, must, practice corporal punishment. Any of these ideas would introduce something foreign into Christianity that does not belong there. And so in any of these circumstances, teaching is important to help people to understand that it is okay to do these things when they are not forbidden or commanded by God. Nothing is necessary for salvation beyond what God has already accomplished for us. So as believers in Christ, we are completely free. The weight of the law has been lifted from us by Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross. We do not have to fear that God will punish us for disobeying him, because our disobedience has been credited against Jesus, and his obedience has been credited to us. We are truly free from the weight of sin and the punishment of the law. But our freedom does not free us to do anything we want. As God's children, we are freed to show our Heavenly Father's love and concern for his other children, our brothers and sisters in the faith. Bearing one another's burdens, sharing one another's strength. If your brother is too weak to stand your drinking around him, you are free to abstain for his sake, knowing that drinking alcohol or abstaining from alcohol is not a matter of salvation. We are truly free to help and support each other. That is what Christian freedom is all about, using your freedom for the sake of others and not for yourself. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.